You are now going to hear a talk. In the Yorkshire Post of March the 8th, there is a letter from the Vicar of Teddington entitled, Is England Pagan? In it he says, I fear it is becoming so. It is apparent that in most of the churches, the congregations are becoming less and less, and particularly of the younger men and women. Then he gives four reasons, which to him seem paramount, in the legion of causes for this falling away from God and religion. We do not propose to criticize these reasons given. No doubt they play a part in this deplorable tendency which youth displays in the falling away from God and religion, as he describes it, and evidenced by their non-attendance at the services of the church. What interests us is the fact that it is recognized that paganism is growing apace in England. We so often read in the English press of pagan Germany, or that National Socialist Germany is godless, and many other like accusations are made against National Socialist Germany. Are these accusations justified? Is Germany becoming pagan? And if so, why? Let us assume that paganism is advancing among the German youth circles. And let us try to find the reason for this tendency. Also, let us ask ourselves if the same reasons may be applied to justify the assertion that the youth of England is also on the pagan path. During the World War of 1914 to 1918, the youth of the time spontaneously and with passionate enthusiasm entered the war to fight for what they intensely believed to be a fight for the right. They bore on their uniform, then as now, the traditional motto, God with us. They expected that at the end of the war, victory would be theirs. After 4 years of indescribable effort and sacrifice, the then Germany capitulated. And one of the reasons for that capitulation was the now so-called paganism. They had lost the belief in their watchword, God with us. Had the churches failed in their duty during this supreme trial? Yes, 1,000 times yes. They had forgotten that their duty and function is to minister to the spiritual needs of the people. They had lost touch with God, the living God. Men had called for bread and they had received a stone. There are exceptions to every rule, but the majority of pastors had lost the spiritual connection between God and men. That spiritual connection revealed, expounded, and practiced by the man Jesus Christ. They, the pastors, buried themselves in the study of theology, of dry literature, useful certainly as a training of the mind, just as the ABC is necessary as a prelude to all school learning. But they neglected the study of human nature and its spiritual needs. Those who were driven to despair by suffering and sacrifice for what seemed to them at the end of that world war to have been utterly purposeless called to the churches to give them spiritual strength and consolation. They received no adequate answer. They either were overwhelmed in the slough of despond, or they turned their backs on the churches as their source of strength and new life. They turned to other channels in the search for truth. Many, turning from the Orthodox Church and its theological teachings, sought for the truth in the simple teachings of Christ as related to us in the Gospels of the New Testament. And thousands there found personal touch with God, light on their problems, and courage to take up their life's duty again with hope and success. Others again were obsessed by a passionate desire to see their beloved country rise again out of its humiliation and despair. They were fired by a zeal to build up a new Germany, a nation united, freed alike from outward shackles and inward strife. They sought and found their spiritual strength in studying the lives of great men who had suffered, fought, and conquered. They too could find guidance and strength in the teachings of Christ Jesus, who, when tackled and tempted by the crowds, gave the answer to their question, "Shall we render tribute to Caesar? Render unto God the things that are God's, and unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's." Jesus was no politician. He was a realist as well as an idealist, a man of simple common sense, with clarity of vision, filled with divinely passionate love for human beings. He had no material ambition or desires to build up a kingdom on earth. That was not his business. His business was to heal the sick and brokenhearted, to bring joy and freedom to spirits bound in captivity, to give sight to the blind. His work was essentially spiritual, and yet he finds the appropriate answer to the jibing questions of envious men. He was in touch with their mentality, consequently found the final scathing answer to their jibes, "Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." And this, it seems to us, is the answer to those who today criticize and raise the question whether Germany is becoming paganized or not. President Roosevelt has said that every man, under whatsoever government, must have liberty to worship God in his own way. In National Socialist Germany, we enjoy this liberty so long as we render to the government the respect which is its due. The Roman Catholic churches are filled to overflowing, as they always have been. The Protestant churches continue to hold their services as they have been accustomed. Young lads and girls, when they reach the ages of 14 to 16, are confirmed in the same way as girls and boys have been confirmed for generations. In some denominations, the creed is slightly altered. There are meeting places for Christian Scientists, for Baptists, for Seventh-day Adventists, and other sects of religion. They are unmolested in their search after spiritual food, which they seek after their own fashion. The one forbidden topic in church and meeting house is politics. Is this not in exact accord with the teachings of Christ? The answer is obvious. In his own injunction, "Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's," we ask, is Germany pagan?